Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about what I'm going to call the journey up. The journey up. And I found on the internet this little poem called The Up Poem. And I want to read it to you because I think it's kind of funny. Now you have to understand my humor. My humor can be a little bit cheesy. And my wife is already shaking her head over there like, yes. And she's kind of already nervous as to what this is going to be. But it's just a poem about the word up. We use the word up all the time, all right? I think that you and I are going to realize all the more as I read this to you, all right? So here's the poem. It goes like this. There's a two-letter word that perhaps has more meanings than any other two-letter word, and that is up. It's easy to understand up, meaning toward the sky or at the top of the list, but when we awaken in the morning, why do we wake up? At a meeting, why does a topic come up? Why do we speak up, and why are the officers up for election, and why is it up to the secretary to write up a report? We call up our friends. We use it to brighten up a room, polish up the silver. We warm up the leftovers and clean up the kitchen. We lock up the house, and some guys fix up the car. At other times, the little word has real special meaning. People stir up trouble, line up for tickets, work up an appetite, and think up excuses. To be dressed up is one thing, but to be dressed up is special. And this up is confusing. A drain must be opened up because it has been stopped up. We open up a store in the morning, but we close it up at night. We seem to be pretty mixed up about up. To be knowledgeable about the proper uses of up, look the word up in the dictionary. In a desk-sized dictionary, it takes up almost one-fourth of the page and can add up to about 30 definitions. If you are up to it, you might try building up a list of many ways up is used. It will take up a lot of your time, but if you don't give up, you may wind up with 100 or more. When it threatens to rain, we say it is clouding up. When the sun comes out, we say it is clearing up. When it rains, it wets up the earth. When it doesn't rain for a while, things dry up. One could go on and on, but I'll wrap it up for now. My time is up, so time to shut up. Oh, one more thing. What is the first thing that you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night? You pee. You'll get it on the way home, don't worry. Anyways. Please, thank you, Antonio. Thank you. And I hope that wasn't too crude for anybody. Actually, it's kind of funny because I was in an interview recently with somebody, and we were talking to them about their schedule, and we kind of asked them, and we said, tell us, kind of like what your day is like. And their response was, well, I get up in the morning and I go to the bathroom. And we all kind of laughed about it. I thought it was kind of funny. But anyways, the journey up. I hope that wasn't too crude for you. Philippians chapter 3, let's go to verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12. And this is a fun little message that I believe God gave to me personally and to give to you also. And here in Philippians chapter 3, I've been asked, what is your favorite verse? And my response is, and I hope it's not a super spiritual response, but my response has always been, you know what, I like so many of them that I can't pick one. But I would have to say this passage of scripture that we're about to read, in fact, this whole chapter really has really become one of my favorite, all right? So here in verse number 12, this is what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And if I could just stop for a moment, and I don't want to get too far off track, but I just think it's so wonderful to see Paul the Apostle talk about, hey, he recognizes something. He recognizes that Christ has laid hold of him, and not just for no reason at all, but that he would be able to lay hold of the things that have now become available to him in Christ. As we read on verse number 3, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained or arrived or reached, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." So Paul the Apostle, he has this priority. He has this goal in life. And that goal is to reach and to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of him. So Jesus come and laid hold of him and made some things available to him. And he's made it a priority in his life to lay hold of those things. And I like so much that this portion of scripture ends with, it says that, "Therefore let us." So not only should this be a priority in Paul's life, or was it a priority in Paul's life, but it should be a priority in our life. It should be a goal in our life that we are reaching for the same things that God has for us, because he's laid hold of you and I for a reason, for a purpose. And it goes so much further beyond just salvation and being saved and being, you know what, I'm headed for heaven, I'm denying hell. There's so much more to the things of God than just that. And so he says in verse number 15, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind," have this same mind, have this same priority, have this same goal that we are reaching for what and striving for what God has for you and for me. Now, I want to particularly, I know I maybe got off a little bit on a rabbit trail there, but in verse number 14, let me read it to you. It says, he says, "I press toward the goal," and he's going to get a little bit specific now. I know that, you know, when I say, you know, we're supposed to be reaching for the things that God has for us, he gets a little bit specific here. And in verse number 14, it says this, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what, today, young adults, you've got to know this, that you have been called by God. That each one of you in the building has a special call from God. Now, as we go through the word today, when I use the word call, and when you hear the word calling, and when you hear the word called, I want you to think of it this way, as an invitation from God. An invitation into some things. God has called you and I into some things. And like I said just a moment ago, it's more than just heaven when we die. God has called you. God has invited you into some things. Now, if today when I use the word invited, maybe I don't know what comes to your mind. Maybe what comes to your mind is like an invitation in the mail. You know, like recently I've gotten a couple invitations to some weddings. All right, and some of them are pretty cool. And you get this letter, and you get this cool object. In fact, I got one from Erica and Chris's wedding. I don't even know what that was, but it was really cool. And you opened it up, and it was just really pretty and romantic and all that kind of wonderful thing. All right, so when we think of an invitation, you may think of an invitation that way, but when God calls us, it's much more personal. It's much more personal. It is a personal, intimate calling from him. And this is not a letter that he sends to you. This is literally a word of mouth invitation from God to you. That he's inviting you into some things that, and me into some things that he has for us, okay? So when we use the word call or calling, we're speaking of an invitation from God. Now, all throughout the New Testament, we'll find this idea of calling or this idea of invitation. And you'll find it in a couple of different respects. One is this, that all of us together as believers have some same invitations or I should put it this way. The callings that God has placed upon our lives, some of them we have in common. Other ones are unique to us individually. Okay, but all throughout the New Testament, you'll find this idea of calling or this idea of God inviting us into some things. In Ephesians chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there, let me just tell you what it says. Ephesians chapter 1 is another portion of scripture that I really like. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll find a prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. And right in the middle of this prayer, this one little part says this, God, my desire, my prayer for these people is that they would come to know what is the hope of your calling. God, that they would realize that they've been called. God, that they would realize that they've been invited. God, that they would realize that you have some things for them to step into. And the verse goes on to say, and I like how he words it. He says that they would know what is the hope of your calling. In other words, when you and I come to a place when we realize and when we know the places and the things that God has invited us into, it will bring hope to our hearts. It'll bring hope for our heart today. It will bring hope for our heart tomorrow. It'll bring hope for into our heart regarding our future when we realize what God has called us into. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, we'll see Paul say this. This is a calling which we all have in common. He says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God's called you. God's called me. And then also we'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I really like this, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound what the world calls wise. Aren't you thankful today that God didn't call the wisest, the smartest, the wealthiest, the most educated, but God has so loved each and every one of us that he's called us. Now this calling, this invitation of God, and to do it justice, I need to say it this way, the invitations, plural, of God are not just any kind of call or invitation. Look back with me at verse number 14. You're there in Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 14. The callings of God, they're not just any old kind of callings, any old kind of invitations. It says here, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize, what? And I've come to fall in love with this word, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The invitations and the callings of God are ones that will continually pull you up. The invitations and the callings of God, the things that he has for your life and mine, are things that will, over the course of our life, will continually pull us up. God is calling you and I to a higher plane. God is calling you and I to a higher place. He's calling you and I to go a little bit further than we've gone so far. The callings and the invitations of God, they're ones that will call us upward. Now, that's exciting to me because, you see, I've been invited some places in my life, some places that I've gone and some places that, thank God, God has kept me from going. But these places, these invitations, when I went to them, ultimately they were going to take me down, all right? They're going to bring destruction to my life. They're going to bring turmoil. They're going to bring what God didn't have for my life. But you know what? The callings of God are callings that will take you and I up.
Amen. Amen.
They'll take you and I up to a higher place. I think that possibly one of the reasons why we use the word up so much is because in our hearts we would all agree that up is a good thing. Down, not so much. Up is a good thing. Down, not so much. You know what? The things that God has for us, they will always be things that bring us up. It's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, to do it justice, this verse number 14, let me read it to you one more time. Verse number 14 says this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what Paul is referring to specifically here is that final moment when we will see Jesus face to face. That is the upward call. That is, in other words, and we read this portion of scripture, but he talks about, I haven't apprehended, I haven't reached, I haven't attained, I'm not perfected. Okay, when we're perfected and when we reach and when we finally attain, that will be on the day of the Lord. When we see Jesus face to face and our salvation comes to its fullness. Okay, is everybody following me? That's what this verse is talking about. When he's talking about, I'm reaching for. Hey, I'm trying to, if by any means, actually if you'll read in some of the verses prior, he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection for the dead without getting to heaven. If I could just have the fullness of my salvation right now, well, that would be the bomb diggity. But you know what? That's what I'm reaching for. And that's what I'm striving for. That my salvation would come to its full state. I love so much. A little bit later on, I hope I'm not quoting too much scripture for you guys today, because some of your faces are like I've lost you already. But he talks about how, you know what, we long in this body, we long for our heavenly body. We long for the day when death will finally be swallowed up. completely in life. And that's when salvation, that's the place he's striving for, that he would lay hold, that he would reach this final goal and destination, which we know, of course, and he goes on to explain throughout the Word of God, that we won't reach until we see Jesus face to face. But isn't it so cool to see that he says that he's reaching for it? So let me put it to you like this. Until we reach that final place where we see Jesus face to face, and what a glorious hope that is, let us continually keep moving up, up, up. Pastor Joe, you're being a little bit, I don't know if I feel you just yet. I'm being a little bit vague today because I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit. I will get a little bit specific, but I want to be a little bit vague because you know what? I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one of your hearts today in regards to the callings he has for your life, in regards to the invitations that he has for you. Today, I don't want to be specific because I want the Holy Spirit tonight to speak to your heart. Listen, God may have a bazillion things, and I believe he really does have a bazillion things for you and I to come into. But today, I believe that at least today, he has at least one thing that he wants to speak to your heart today, in which you will find that he is calling you up. He's calling you to a higher plane. Once upon a time, there was a man in a plane. While there in his seat, he happened to notice that somehow a snake had boarded the small airplane he was on. Frantically, he began to yell to the pilot, "Excuse me, sir, but there's a snake on the plane." The pilot replied, "Okay, let me take it up a little higher." Baffled and quickly concluding that the pilot did not understand him due to the noise of the plane flying through the air, he began to yell again, "Don't you understand? There's a snake on the plane." Again, the pilot replied, okay, let me take it up a little bit higher. In disbelief, the passenger yelled again at the pilot, "Can't you hear what I'm telling you? There's a snake on the plane." A third time, the pilot responded and said, "Not to worry, sir. I'm going to take it up a little higher." "You don't understand," screamed the passenger. "There's a snake on the plane." Losing a little of his calm, the pilot responded, "No, you don't understand. There's something about the carbon monoxide and oxygen levels that change as we go higher. The higher we go, the more we begin to snuff out the snake and rob it of its effectiveness." Hello, somebody. The higher that you go, the more you begin to snuff out the snake and rob it of its effectiveness. And today, I'm here to tell you today that if the devil is working some stuff in your life, maybe it's time to take it up a little bit higher. Take it up. Maybe it's time for me to pray just a little bit more. Maybe it's time to get into my word just a little bit more. Maybe it's time for me to get my praise on just a little bit more. Maybe it's time for me to clap a little bit more or get a little bit more crazy so that I can begin to snuff out the snake and rob him of his effectiveness in my life. Somebody tonight, you got to get excited. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Snuff that snake." You done pushed me too far now. I'm about to get Pentecostal up in here. Look at your other neighbor and get a little bit more serious now. I mean, come on today, because God has given you the place to snuff out the snake. He's invited you to snuff that devil out of your life and rob him of his effectiveness. So why don't you go ahead and turn to your neighbor today and say, "Snuff that snake." All right. Gonna have to take it a little bit higher. God is calling us to a higher place. He's calling us up. And I love so much in Revelation. I know more scripture. Pastor Joseph loves scripture and too much scripture and scripture coming all over the place. But in Revelation, we find that John finds himself in the Spirit, as the Bible says. And in that moment, I love it so much because in that moment, the Bible says that he sees an angel. And what does the angel say to him? The angel says to him, "Come up here. I need you to come up here." See, you're too focused and you're too worried about and you're too taken up with the things of the earth. And you've got to realize that God is up here, that God is in a different place. He's on a higher plane. He's on a different playing field. But aren't you thankful today that in this one little saying that the angel says to John, "Come up here," aren't you thankful today that God is calling you up to where he is? He's calling us up. I believe today that God is calling us to a higher mindset, a higher mindset. I've had God speak to my heart before. Joey, if you can win the battle in your mind, you can win. If you can win the battle of your mind, you can win. And it's not whether or not I can or you can win the battle of our minds, because we can. It's a matter of taking our minds and putting them in the right place. You see, you can't today expect to leave your mind in the gutter and to live the high life, because it's not going to happen. If you're going to live right, you got to think right first. Romans tells us that those who walk according to the flesh, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. And a carnal mind, it's enmity with God. It's at odd ends with God. There's controversy. They're enemies. They're going in two different directions. The carnal mind, in fact, it goes even further to say that, you know what, the carnal mind is death and will bring death to your life and to mine. If I'm going to live right, if I'm going to walk into and step into and come up into what God has for me, I'm going to have to think right first. Pastor Joe, how do I know if I'm thinking right? Or how do I think right? Get a hold of what the Bible has to say about your life and about your situation, and replace your thoughts with the Bible's thoughts. Replace your thoughts with what God says. Replace what your uncle said, Uncle Cray Cray, and put in what Jesus has to say about your life. Hello! I have to change my mind. You have to change your mind. This is how we are transformed. This is how we step into the things of God, by changing our mind. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to put it up on the overhead screen. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, and you were, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He gets a little bit more specific for those of us who didn't quite get it, which I would be one of those people who often doesn't get it, all right? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You got to change your mindset. You've got to change the way that you think about things. I believe that God's calling us to a higher place in Him. I believe that God's calling us to a higher mindset today. I believe today that God wants to call you and I into some higher areas of our life, and probably more areas than we could possibly imagine. In James chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself today in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Today, I believe that God wants to lift some of you up out of the financial situation that you're in, into some prosperity, hallelujah, into some having more than enough for every good work. Because after all, He's the God of more than enough. And there's no reason why the God of more than enough should have some broke-as children. Sorry, got a little carried away. Some broke children. I didn't cuss, so don't leave here. Pastor Luke, Pastor Joe, you left and you just came unglued. Some broke people. God wants to lift you and I up out of, you know what? God wants to lift you and I up out of some of the relationship issues that we have. Some of you all in here in the young adults ministry, you're married. Praise God. Glory be to God. And all the single people said, amen. And all the married people kind of sighed. All right? But God wants to help you in your relationships and pull you out of some of your marital problems and pull you out of some issues into some peace and into some love and into some unity. I'm here to tell you today, I got a word for somebody today. God wants to lift you up out of sickness and disease into health and walking in the things of God in your body. I'm also here to tell you today that, you know what, for those of you who have a job, God wants to see you promoted. God got some raises, and God got some, ooh, I like that, raises. God got some raises and some bonuses for your life. Well, Pastor Joe, if they were going to give me a raise or a bonus, if they're going to promote me, they should have done it already. And I'm here today to tell you, if you'll just go ahead and accept your calling, your invitation from God, and act like what God called you, then eventually men will realize it, and they'll go ahead and promote you before you know it. Preach, preacher, thank you very much. I believe I will. But He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord that He will lift you up. God, God wants to lift you up today. God wants to lift you up out of depression. God wants to lift you up out of sin and being shackled and habits and over and over, week after week and month after month and year after year. God wants to lift you up. That's what that verse means. And we'll find the same verse over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I like that picture so much. Under the mighty hand of God. And it says, and he will exalt you in due time. Up. Up. God wants to lift us up. I have just a few points for you today, and we're going to go through them real quick. That was my intro. Some of y'all just started sweating. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to be here till midnight. Just wipe it on your friend. No, just kidding. I had a friend in Bible college, and this friend, he had a vision from God. Now, let me preface this by saying to you, Pastor Joe doesn't do weird, okay? All right? And I don't think that God is weird either. I think that God is different, okay? And sometimes people may mistake that as being weird, okay? But I when people come up to me and they got a word from God, they had a vision, I immediately kind of step back. You know, the Word of God tells us that we have a more sure word of prophecy. I don't care what anybody said. If it's not in here, I don't got to follow it. It don't mean nothing to me, okay? Because this is a more sure word of prophecy. But I really believe, as he told me his vision, I really believe that it was from the Lord. And what was his vision? He said that he found himself at the bottom of a mountain, and Jesus was at the top. And what did Jesus do? Jesus called him up to where he was, up. So he began to climb this mountain. He said he got about halfway, and he said he couldn't go up any higher. So he called out to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, I can't come any higher. And Jesus' response to him was, what's in your pocket? And so he reached in his pocket, pulled out a ball, he said, and on the ball was written envy. And he realized, I have to get rid of this if I'm gonna go up higher. So he got rid of it. He dropped it, and he went up a little bit higher, and he got to another place where he couldn't go up any higher. And he said, I can't come up higher. I know you're calling me up, but I can't. And Jesus said to him, what's in your pocket? And reached in his other pocket, and this happened. And he reached in his other pocket, and jealousy and covetousness and these different things, that these different issues that he had in his life. And he realized, in order for me to go up higher, I'm going to have to abandon some things. I have to realize that if I'm going to come into what God has for me, there's going to be some things that I have to let go. If I'm going to lay hold, I got to let go first. All right? So with that in mind, three things quick. All right, that hold us down, right? This is the journey up, but here's some things that are going to keep us from going up, that are going to hold us down, all right? Number one today is this: accolades, achievements, and experiences. Wait a second, Pastor Joe. Aren't those good things? No. They're good things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against accolades. I'm not against certificates and medals and gosh, all these different kinds of things that we bestow upon people to honor them. I'm not against those things. I'm not against you achieving things and accomplishing things and even being proud of them. Nor am I against, or are we saying today that experience and gaining experience and learning and growing is a bad thing? But if these things become a weight in my life, I've got to let them go, and I've got to go on with what God has for me. See, oftentimes we, because of our accolades and our achievements and our experience, we end up plateauing in life. And we think, this is good enough. I'm here to tell you today, that's a lie from the devil. So just go ahead and throw it out right now, because good enough ain't good enough. You got to go higher. I've got to keep reaching. And in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 3 through 7, these words are gripping to me. Let me read them to you very quickly, because we find that Paul understood this principle, this truth. It says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Watch what he says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. I could have confidence. I could be proud. There's been some things that I've done, okay? If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And he's going to begin to list now. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day, which is a really big deal in the Jewish custom. I was circumcised the eighth day, not the ninth and not the seventh, because God said the eighth day, I didn't come late like some of these other people, these Gentiles. I was circumcised the eighth day. Okay? Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Some of these things are really cool, but you know what? I understand, and I'm not going to let them get in the way of what God has for me. I'm going to keep on reaching. Kind of makes a little bit more sense now when we think of what he said later on, that I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward. So you and I have to be careful that just because I've been coming to church for 50,000 years doesn't mean that I can stop reaching. Salvation isn't complete until I see Jesus face to face. Therefore, from this time on, let me continually go up. Peter tells us, hey, now that you got faith, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control brotherly kindness. And I really believe that Peter just really, really wanted to keep on going. But what is he talking about? He's talking about a progression, a continual growing, a continual reaching, a continual climbing and going up higher. We can't stop. Just because I've read the Bible all the way through doesn't mean that it doesn't have something to say to me today. Well, it's not going to tell me anything I haven't already heard. God help us. God help us. Some of us can get into, let me say this as we move on. We can get into, you know what? I have a good paying job. I have a family. I got a nice car. I got a career. I got a house. I got a this and I got a that. I don't need. It's going to hold you back. It's going to hold you back. Hold me back. All right, so some things that we have to make sure we don't allow to hold us down. Number one was accolades, achievements, and experiences. Number two is the regrets of yesterday. The regrets of yesterday. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 6, we already read it, but look one more time with me. Paul says this concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Before he came to know Jesus Christ, he persecuted them, he threw them in jail, and he was a part of killing their murders. And you'll find as you read scripture that Paul realized that this thing, now that he was a Christian, it was really a thing that tried to hold him back. At one point in time in the Bible, Paul says this. He says, God has saved sinners of whom I am chief. I am the rankest. I am the worst of them all because I killed the very ones that Christ died for. The very Lord I serve today, I killed his followers. But I'm here to tell you today, if the blood of Jesus was enough for Paul, you've got to know that the blood of Jesus is enough for you today. And you're going to have to learn how to forgive yourself and let go of the regrets and the failures and the mistakes of the past. You've done been living in it now for years, and it's holding you back. And he says, verse number 6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. But then In verse number 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting those things, both good and bad, which were behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Listen, if God has forgiven you and if God has declared you righteous, who are you to hold guilt and shame over your head? It's a done deal. The blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. I love what the Old Testament says. It says, let the one who's been involved with all these different things forsake his way and let him turn to the Lord, for God will abundantly pardon. How much hope? How one for God will abundantly pardon. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives. And the Amplified says, each and every one of all your iniquities. I got to take my regrets of yesterday. I got to take them to Jesus, and I got to let him wash them away. And I've got to forgive myself. Things that hold us down. Accolades, achievements, and experiences. Number two, the regrets of yesterday. And finally, number three, the deadness in our lives. If you will, now turn with me to John chapter 11, and we'll end with these two little verses, John chapter 11. What are some things that can hold us back in our life? The deadness in our lives, or what we would call dead, what we would call over, what we would say, yeah, game over. Tried that, been there, done that, didn't work. I failed. There's no getting past this. It's just dead. It's over. And here in John chapter 11 is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Jesus is out preaching, and he gets word that one of his friends by the name of Lazarus has died. And the word comes from his sister saying, Jesus, will you come? Because the one whom you love is sick. Jesus makes this statement when he gets word, when he gets the letter, he makes a statement and he says, not to worry, the sickness isn't unto death, but for the glory of God. So the Bible says that Jesus stayed another 2 days there preaching and then decided to go. Well, while he was there preaching, after he made that statement, Lazarus went ahead and died. And so the Bible says that he decided to go back to the city, and on his way, he was going to pass through a place called Jerusalem, which was just 2 miles away from where Lazarus died. And on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the city, he's going to pass through Jerusalem. His disciples said, are you sure that you want to go back, Jesus? Because you know the Jews are waiting for you. They want to take your life, and they're plotting against you. And Jesus said, let's go. And you'll even find that Thomas makes this statement, all right, let's go and let's die with him. So Jesus goes ahead and he goes, and the Bible says that Martha comes and meets Jesus there in Jerusalem. She hears that he's coming, and she meets him two miles outside of the place that Lazarus was now buried. She says to him, Lord, if you had been there, you could have healed him, like just like you healed everybody else. Just like you opened the blind eyes, just like you raised the lame to walk and the mute to speak and you cast out devils and God, the leper was healed. God, Jesus, if you had been there, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says to her, he says, didn't I tell you? He says, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He says, your brother will rise again. And she says, but you know, Jesus, I know. I know that there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, and we're all going to be together in glory land, glory, hallelujah. It's going to be great, but if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She says, you don't understand. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And though you got deadness in your life today, because you serve an awesome God, the resurrection and the life, he will call your deadness back to life. And I love what, in John chapter 11, verse number 28, so he makes this statement, and it says this, in verse number 28, it says, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, and I like this so much, the teacher has come and is calling for you. The teacher has come today and he's calling for you, Shift Young Adults. And he's inviting you into life. Where you've called things dead in your life, he's the resurrection. The teacher is calling. And so what happens? Both Mary and Martha come. The Bible says that Mary was weeping, was in the house mourning with some friends, and she got this word, and she came running to Jesus, and she makes this same statement. If he had been here, he wouldn't have died. The Bible says that Jesus began to weep. Everybody else is weeping, and Jesus was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. And all these people are weeping. It says Jesus wept and he groaned in his spirit. And he approaches this tombstone. And in verse number 39, he says, take away the stone. And Martha and Mary say to him, they say, listen, you don't want to do that because the body's been in there 4 days. It's going to stink. He says, take away the stone. Did I not tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus begins to pray. And he prays to God, and he says, God, the whole reason why I'm praying is not because I need to, not because I need a special boost, or not because I need it, but because they need it. And they need to know that, God, this is the kind of God that you are. And so in verse number 43, it says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It was a calling. He called Mary and Martha right where they were at. He even called Lazarus, who is dead in his tomb, right where he was at. And he said, Lazarus, I'm calling you. I am the resurrection and the life. I hold the keys of death and hell, and I am calling you because I am calling your deadness back to life today. So Lazarus, come forth. And I believe that you people in here today need to take some time on your own and get with God, and you just need to simply say your name, and you need to call yourself forth. You need to speak to your heart, and you need to speak to your life, and you need to speak in the midst of all of your stress and all of your confusion and all of the weight and all of the pressure and all of the stuff, and you need to say, come forth. I need to say, come on, Joey, come forth. Come on, Rachel, come forth. Come on, Antonio and Angelina and Mark and Andrea and all of, come forth. Come forth, because you see, God is the resurrection and the life, and will bring life to our deadness. So don't allow your deadness, what you've called over, what you've called can't happen, what you've said, it's not worth the effort. Get with God and let him bring your deadness back to life. If I could have, do we still have the worship team here, or have? And if you guys, if PJ sang a song, if you could just go over that bridge, this is our God. And I just want to take very, very quickly, and don't worry, we're all going to get out on time. Is that really important right now? Probably not. But I want them to sing, freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is your love, poured out for all. This is our God. And maybe you don't see an invitation from God in this song, but I do. Freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. And it makes a statement, great is your love, poured out for all. You know what the Bible says? That God's perfect love will cast out fear.